Should I take TRT? Should my testosterone be higher? I've been thinking about testosterone for 15 years, and of course the issue goes way beyond athletic performance improvement. Wise athletes have serious questions about testosterone's impact on health and longevity. We all want to be better athletes, to be stronger and recover like we used to. Is there a way to boost testosterone that is safe, that gives me all the benefits of getting back to my youthful levels of testosterone without injuring my ability to be a strong and healthy athlete throughout my hopefully long life? To answer these questions and more, on episode 134, I am rejoined by Rick Cohen, MD, a longevity and hormone health expert who works with athletes of all ages to find a safe and sustainable path to being the strong athlete we all want to be. All right, let's talk to Dr. Cohen about feeling better and stronger as a man and an athlete. Dr. Rick Cohen, welcome back to the Wise Athletes Podcast.
Oh, my pleasure. How are you, Joe?
Looking forward to hearing what you have to say today. It'd be great.
Super.
Awesome. I'm doing great. Glenn, how are you doing, buddy, in South Korea?
The spring has come, so cherry blossoms are coming now. It's great.
Awesome. Okay. Well, Rick, hey, thanks for coming back here. We had a conversation about this general topic a couple of years ago. It was a good one, but questions are once again stirring in my mind. I mean, this is a hot topic on the internet, and I'm on the internet a lot, so I'm being exposed to these things. And so here's some questions that I'm hoping we can touch on today for the older athlete at some level of detail, given that, you know, we only have a little time together. But here's the first one. Why is my testosterone falling as I get older? Is it a cause or is it an effect of aging? I mean, in other words, is the lower testosterone causing me health issues, or are my health issues causing lower testosterone? Is maybe it's my body's way of responding to a bad situation. Anyway, I want to hear more about that. I want to know what I can do. Maybe I would like to have higher testosterone. I don't know, but you know, what could I do about that? And then, of course, we've got to touch on the TRT thing. You know, I mean, the ads are everywhere. I just went online and searched testosterone, and the first thing that came up was a $99 a month subscription. You know, just put a little dot of blood on a piece of paper and put your credit card number in, and we're going to send it to you every month. And so is that a good shortcut to good health and longevity? We need to know the answers to that. And so you're the right guy to help us with that. So thanks for coming back.
Sure. My pleasure.
Well, good. Well, let's touch on the TRT thing first. I mean, people, I'm sure, are dying to hear about that. You know, on one hand, you got the TRT people, right? You know, they're like, everybody should have 1,000 testosterone. Don't let your doctor scare you. And then they usually at the end of that, they say, come to my low T clinic, or, you know, buy my testosterone book. And these guys focus on making high T a badge of honor, and they promote testosterone envy. Okay, I have envy. And then, you know, then you got the other guys on the far end of the other far end of the scale. And these are this is my doctor who say, oh, come on, you know, aging is natural. Falling sex hormones is a normal part of the cycle of life. Everybody goes through it. Maybe you should talk to a psychiatrist and get used to the idea. And so this group deals in fear, right? They talk about getting cancer and losing your natural testosterone production if you take TRT. Okay, maybe the right answer is somewhere in the middle, but what do you think, Rick?
Yeah, so completely somewhere in the middle, right? We have, there's so many pieces to this. Let's start with, I guess, understanding what testosterone does, right? So to be clear, so testosterone is a signal. It's the signal that the body needs to stimulate an anabolic process. I mean, it's more complicated than that, but I think if we just keep the main points in front of us, we'll be clear and not get too distracted, right? So it's a hormone that's created in the testes that travels to the cells, which tells the cells, hey, you know, you need to take these actions. And the primary action is going to be anabolic, which is involved with repair and growth. So that process has many pieces to it. It has the brain signaling. It has the production facility. It has the traveling to the cells, and then it has the receptors on the cell. So any one of these four areas, plus a few others, can go awry. What's important to know is that process should be working naturally for everyone, regardless of age, up to a point, right? So we know testosterone levels are lower today, and I'll clarify what that means, because you need to pay attention to what testosterone you're talking about. But we'll say total testosterone levels are lower today than they were 25 years ago. Well, we haven't evolved or we haven't changed since then. So something in the environment or something in our lifestyle, something in our diet has caused a 20% reduction in total testosterone. The manufacturing facility is not working well. So let's go back and what is total testosterone? Total testosterone is the amount that's being produced in the testes. It is the manufacturing facility. The total testosterone is not what actually gets to the cell. In order for the testosterone to be carried to the cell, it needs to bind to a protein. The body has a calibration system, in essence, where it decides how much of that testosterone is free or bioavailable to actually do the signaling. It's typically about 1% to 3% in the body is free and actually bioavailable. There's a weak and tightly binding. There's some that comes off and on, but we'll leave that out of the discussion for today. Of that 1% to 3%, that's what's going to cause the action. And that's so it's important because you can have a normal or healthy total testosterone and have a low free testosterone. You can have a low total testosterone and your free testosterone be not so bad. In today's world, I'll either see total testosterone declining or total testosterone okay and free testosterone quite low. Different scenarios, different causes, different methods of intervention that play a role. We continue, but I'll stop there for now. You can ask some questions.
Good. I mean, some of this is I've heard before, and I think that it's clear that sex hormones, testosterone being the primary driver, is important. And nobody's saying it's not important. And in fact, I've heard a bunch of health markers that are affected by testosterone and also by estradiol, which is made from testosterone. I wonder if you might tell us some of these things, like if you've got enough estrogen, and I mean for a man, your LDL goes down and your HDL goes up. Is that right?
Oh boy, you're opening up another can of worms here. Let's continue the discussion then. Testosterone is not the final metabolite. So your body breaks down testosterone into estrogens and also to something called dihydrotestosterone. Dihydrotestosterone is the androgenic. It's the key part of testosterone that gives men the secondary sex characteristics. Estrogen obviously can as well when higher amounts, but estrogen in and of itself has some powerful metabolic health features to it with regard to brain health, with regard to lipid metabolism, depending on the level of estrogen, because it's all about the ratio of testosterone to estrogen. And, you know, in wearing our longevity hats, there's a molecule called 17-alpha estradiol, which is behind or next to rapamycin in male rodents, one of the more potent sort of longevity acting molecules. 17-alpha estradiol is an estrogen, but because it's not the beta form, it doesn't have the estrogenic activity. So when you give this to males, they get the benefits of the estrogen without the secondary sexual feminizing effects of estrogen. And primarily that 17-alpha estradiol affects mitochondrial health, which is really quite crucial. The other thing we know from work with glycanage is a test that looks at inflammatory markers on the protein molecule. We'll leave it at that. But in essence, they know hormonal replacement or hormonal balancing, whatever you need to do that, is a very powerful effect on reducing these inflammatory markers. In men who restore testosterone but block the estrogen, because they, you know, if they're pushing their T to 1,000, and your body is not metabolically in a good place, or it has too much fat, or the liver is not working properly, you're going to have too much of the aromatase enzyme, and that's going to convert testosterone to estrogen in too high amount. And, you know, the bodybuilders call it bitch tits or, you know, whatever. And the bodybuilders may also have too much water retention from the estrogen. But when you reduce that too low, you don't get the benefits of the hormonal effects on the glycanage, which is quite interesting. So there's a balance. We need some, you need some, and that's, let's go back to your first question. Just boosting testosterone without paying attention to the metabolic pathways is not a good idea. Not a good idea. And we'll come back to haunt you in any number of ways with regard to over mTOR activity. Testosterone is anabolic. Well, what else do you need to be anabolic? Iron. What else do you need to be anabolic? Turning on mTOR. And in previous discussions, having mTOR turned on all the time, excessively, probably not a good idea. Definitely not a good idea. And also bringing in extra iron is creating reactive oxygen species. So you may be looking bigger and more muscular, but you're paying the price for it metabolically and in your mitochondria. The other thing to be aware of is, you know, what? Why does testosterone create, like, one of the issues is if men who take testosterone, it drives up their hemoglobin levels. Well, it's anabolic. It's producing more red cells. So think about it. If your body needs to grow, what do the cells need? Nourishment, oxygen, iron. So it's driving all this process to build the manufacturing facility. And that drives iron and red cells and makes the blood more likely to clot, right? So it changes the blood viscosity. And unfortunately, I consult with some companies, and there was someone who came in with injectable testosterone, and he had a stroke. No one paid attention that his hemoglobin was over 17, right? And he was becoming iron overloaded. The protocols, if you do it right, is make sure you get your, if you're going to do testosterone, you need to donate blood. You need to make sure you're keeping your iron reserves low so you don't run into those consequences, which is the biggest consequence, more than the LDL. Let's think, you know, that's a Western medical thing. It's mitochondrial health, right? Our health, our stem cell population, our ability to expand stem cells, to keep them alive, to reduce oxygen stress, to reduce inflammation, all keys down to the health of your mitochondria. You know, it's probably one of the most important age, longevity, you know, eventually when we begin to really tweak that and even replace mitochondria, you know, we'll be able to extend lifespan. So anything you do to messes up your mitochondria, not good, right? And you're going to pay for it down the line. You know, getting to your question, like an Olympic, this was the old thing, you ask an Olympic athlete if they could take something that would help them win a gold medal but die in 10 years. A lot of them said yes, right? So yeah, you have to know what your goals are within this. You know, going back to your original question, is testosterone, is it low? You know, the traditional doctor's point of view, it's aging. Well, that's ridiculous. That's just an ignorant statement. Testosterone should not decline with age. It declines two major reasons. One, metabolic health. That's the big one. Poor metabolic health will drive testosterone levels down lower. Overstress, physiological stressors, will drive testosterone levels lower. And then that poor metabolic health, which affects liver and causes inflammation in the liver, which affects the proteins, the sex hormone binding globulin, which is the carrier of testosterone, begins to increase. And so non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, or just fat in the liver due to poor metabolic health, visceral fat, excess iron, will all cause SHBG to go up. And you can have normal testosterone. If it may not even be affecting your production, as much. And I've seen this in a number of athletes who have been taking iron, which we can talk about a little bit. Like, oh, look, your ferritin's low, you need iron. Well, they never looked at their serum level of iron nor their saturation level. So they took iron, their SHBG went up. These are young athletes. Their testosterone's still good, even though they're training hard. They're 23. But their free testosterone is now quite low. So they're not recovering because they're producing too much SHBG from the liver due to this inflammatory process. They had good testosterone, but in a good percentage who are taking iron inappropriately or unnecessarily, they were driving up their SHBG because they were causing liver inflammation. And that was driving their free testosterone, which is the active form of testosterone, to go down.
Yeah.
They were creating a bad situation for themselves. So three main areas, you know, poor metabolic health, mitochondrial health connected, liver inflammation affecting the protein carrier, and then physiological, psychological stressors, you know, affecting neurotransmitters and cortisol. Those also play a key role. Like, you know, you can see people after, you know, done these tests where they took athletes and then they took the fans, and both the fans and the athletes after winning a game had higher testosterones, where the losers had lower testosterone. So that dopamine surge, and testosterone is related to dopamine, which if you think about it, makes sense, right? If you're going to go out and, you know, dopamine drives hunting, focus, concentration, you know, capturing food, war, you want high testosterone. So you get this initial anabolic, sort of like you would get this norepinephrine, you know, reaction to the fight or flight. So it's the same thing. And if you drive dopamine up, you'll get this testosterone boost. If you continue to do that, you know, people who are the dopamine addicts, you know, they're going to actually eventually sort of wear that out. So understanding how these three play a role, and I probably throw in, you know, estrogenic and phytoestrogens in the population, you know, plastics and, you know, xenoestrogens, they certainly do play a role as well. I used to think it was a bigger role than it does, but I've sort of in the past few years really come to realize it's the iron and the liver inflammation due to poor metabolic health playing a primary role.
That's interesting. I wanted to sort of wrap up this business of how fundamental the sex hormones are to our health, to all the various aspects of our health. And things that I've heard of in some detail here recently on the podcast, like bone health. I mean, obviously sex drive is going to be one of the things. What everybody's after is like muscle mass, but there's a lot of other things. Protection from cancers, protection from autoimmune diseases, protection for the brain and brain function, brain fog, blood pressure. Is there anything
else? That's a secondary effect. Fix the primary causes, and you fix the primary causes, the hormones will get balanced out and they will do their job. But, you know, to try and fix the hormones when you're missing the primary cause, you're just band-aiding the problem. And that's, you know, in your initial example, you have the physician who doesn't do anything functionally except give a medicine. And then you have the clinics who just want to sell a hammer to everyone's project. So think about if someone's metabolically unhealthy and you're going to give them testosterone, one, you're going to run into some of those other issues. So you really need to be careful. And then two, you're going to feel better, but right? How long does that last? Because there's this initial receptor benefit, you know, because the receptors have been downregulated because testosterone's been low. So you throw testosterone into the mix. Wow, you feel great. And I'll tell you, from having done this with a lot of people, 3, 4, 5 months later, they forget. And they go, well, this isn't working anymore. I need more. It's like, no, you don't. It's like, you just forgot like how bad you felt. And then you pull them off of it. And it's like, whoa. You can only go back to where you were. It doesn't make you better, right? And that's a different strategy. You can play around with SARMs and hormones to achieve a particular look or to achieve a doping quote unquote state for a super physiological benefit. But that's a different strategy. You know, we're not talking about, you know, how do you, you know, there's actually a new Olympic Games, right? Like that. I forget what it's called, but I read it's like, just do whatever you want. Literally, they're telling the athletes to do whatever you want.
Dope as much as you want.
Dope as much, whatever. It's part of the strategy is just be superhuman. That's not what we're talking about, right? We're talking about optimizing health and...
Yeah, like health span and longevity. And if I can feel better while I'm going to live longer, that's good. I want that. Anyway, the point that I was trying to get at is that these sex hormones are powerful things. They are fundamental to our health in like every way I can imagine.
Yeah, they're downstream of the main issue, right? So they're the signaling that the body needs to tell what to do. So you need to decide how bad is that signaling affecting you, and should you go upstream and fix the problem, which is going to have a much greater effect on your overall well-being, as opposed to trying to come in downstream and micromanage all the different systems. And that really gets into a question of how someone's feeling. Because most of the time I'll go upstream, because why downstream and try and address this and then have to address something else and address something else, which is sort of the Western way. We're going to micromanage systems.
I want to get into that into some detail in a bit.
Let me just say the one key point is how people are feeling. Okay. If someone's feeling reasonably well and just wants to boost and, you know, wants more, then you can fix that. Right. And my judgment will be if someone is truly one hypogonadal, right. If they're truly not producing enough testosterone, that's a different than their testosterone is a little bit lower. And that's different than if their free testosterone is low and they still have a good total testosterone, because that's something else you need to address. But if you're the smaller percentage of total testosterone is below, let's say 300 nanograms per deciliter, then you have to consider how are you feeling? Because I've seen guys with and without that. It's like, they're still doing okay. Or you know what? I have no erections. I recover awful. I have no motivation. I'm depressed. So here's the take home point is there's many factors, right? So, you know, what's your age? What are your symptoms? You know, is it a total T? Is it a free T? Are you converting testosterone to estrogen naturally? Do you have some liver inflammation, whether it's due to visceral fat or excess iron or metabolic issues? Is your SHBG high? What was your natural testosterone when you were 25, 30? Because everyone's different. You know, you have people who are naturally 800, 900, and they have a different physique, a different occupation, you know, a different mental status than someone whose testosterone is lower, right? It's clearly even professional related. Higher testosterone is more, like we talked about, dopamine, because they go back and forth. It's more driven to risk, adventure, you know, warrior type status, you know, not say versus maybe someone who went into accounting or a pediatrician or, you know, something more or artsy. You know, it's that scale of hormones affect who we are. And so if you're 1,000 and now you're at 500, you're now down half of what you used to be. That's way more significant than if you were 500, 500 to 600, and now you're 450. Different strategies. So you have to play into all these pieces, and it's really, there's not a particular magic solution. So to say, get your T injections, is ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, it's
everybody should be 1,000.
Yeah, no, no. And they're like all these pieces that need to come into play. And, you know, maybe some people might need short term. Some people may need to cycle, you know, ideally, you know, if we're looking at, I think we talked about it in with Daniel and rapamycin, like mTOR cycling. So if you're really looking for longevity, someone may say, I might go 2 months, you know, sort of tamping down mTOR, and then I want to do 2 or 3 weeks of anabolic, right? So flipping back and forth. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be a much more beneficial status because ultimately it's holding your muscle mass and holding your strength. And that's going to be the biggest feature for health and longevity status. You know, if we're talking about maximizing performance or bodybuilding, then you're going to, there's trade-offs.
Right.
You know, to train for athletic event, especially an endurance event, you're going to spin off reactive oxygen species. You're going to be, you know, stressing your adrenal glands. You know, you're paying a price for that as opposed to if you're just going to be physically active for a longer, healthier life. Different pieces there. So you have to decide what that's worth to you.
Okay, this is good. Let me try to summarize. And I'm going to say some statements that I think are true, and you jump in and fix anything that I'm saying that is wrong. But I think that this tells the story. So first of all, testosterone envy is bogus. Higher is not better. Higher testosterone is not better unless it's too low for you.
That's correct.
Okay. So too low is a problem. Too high is a problem.
And it's also too low along with their objective and subjective, you know, findings. So it has to be gauged with what the goals are and what you're experiencing.
Yeah, I'm going to touch on that. So I'm going to say each person, and we're really talking about men here in this episode, but each man has a testosterone level that suits him, mm-hmm. right? It sort of like has always been around, has been a part of his personality. That makes perfectly good sense. And maybe there's kind of a range for a person, but still each person kind of has a testosterone, a sex hormone set that suits them. Mm-hmm. And the body works hard to maintain that for them. There's lots of feedback loops and compensations to make sure that you're sort of in that range, including being a little lower or a little higher within your normal range to set your body up for what your body is sensing is right for you at that time, right? You know, are you short of calories? Or do you have, you know, a stressful situation that, you know, it's not a good idea to make children? Or, mm-hmm. Or is your health bad? And that sort of thing. So in this case, for me to figure out what's right for me, if I didn't test my sex hormones when I was 20, which I didn't, then my symptoms are going to be the thing that really matter, as opposed to my blood markers and against what the normal average range is, because it's so broad, it's hard to tell what that means for me. I think the doctors like to use the blood test because people lie and they want to get the drugs, and so they'll say whatever they think they need to say. And so the blood test provides a little bit of a, you know, fact into it, but the symptoms really are the key, as you were saying. But my current testosterone level is affected by, I'm going to say, just in simple terms, the two kind of overlapping buckets. One is my health status. Mm-hmm. You know, if I've got chronic inflammation or I've got poor mitochondrial function, that's going to have an effect on my sex hormone production. And also have this other bucket, which is related, of course, you know, like modern life type issues, you know, where I am eating at midnight and I'm up watching TV late at night, mm-hmm. and I'm not getting enough sleep ever because, you know, I've got lights on all the time and I've got chronic stress and maybe I'm on medicines forever. And, you know, these things are affecting my body. And so I've got two kinds of things that I need to deal with if I want to get my sex hormones back to the way they were or to my level, the Joe level. And I could use TRT. I could use testosterone replacement therapy for that. But that's complicated because there's so many moving parts. And then your body adapts to what you start supplementing.
That's correct.
And so you're forever going to be chasing this as it winds its way through your body and your body is adapting to it. And maybe as your health changes, but also when you start supplementing testosterone, your body stops making testosterone. And I think at some point it stops making it forever. And so you're sort of making a lifelong commitment when you start down that path. Anyway, I'm not sure if that's true or even important here, but still it's a big deal and it's a complicated path and it's never going to be easy. I mean, you don't like tracking your diet and what you eat every day. You're not going to like taking testosterone and having to keep tabs on what's going on with that for the rest of your life.
No, totally. And then just how you take it, you know, so there's all these nuances when you're going. That's correct.
Okay. And so then this last bit then is, I feel much better with this idea. And this is the main thing I want you to react to is, I feel much better with this idea that my body knows what it's trying to do. And I just need to make myself as healthy as I can and not screw it up, not screw up this program, so that my body gets the signal that Strong Joe is the amount of sex hormone that it should be making, mm-hmm. and not Sick Joe or Stressed Joe or Tired Joe is the amount of sex mm-hmm. hormone that mm-hmm. it should be making. Mm-hmm. Does that sound right?
Yes. Yes. I think that's a quite good way of putting it. And I think you made an important point is hormones fluctuate. You know, as I was saying with dopamine, hormones fluctuate with season. They fluctuate with, you know, mood. They fluctuate, you know, during the day. So there's this circadian rhythm as well. So even if we check testosterone, we need to then compare it to symptoms and recheck it, you know, to see if there's a consistency of that. It's important, right? And the other big issue is we get very focused on micromanaging these details where we have to trust when the body knows what it's doing a lot better than us, right? And if we can just put in the inputs, we can trust on the body to take care of the output. And, you know, if there's truly, once you're giving it the correct input, you know, then you're going to see a much better response. And if you then need to intervene, it's a little nudge, right? It's a little nudge. It's not like, you know, you're getting up the hill, it's a little push and you're going downhill and you're great, good to go. It's not like you're trying to, you know, ride in cycling, you're not trying to ride uphill in your highest gear towing 20 pounds, right? That's a lot of work to get up there. Hmm.
Well, good. I think there's a couple of things for us to make sure that we touch on here. I'm not sure what the right order is, but there's this question of what are these symptoms, these signs? I mean, how does a person know that this is something for them to look into a little further? Maybe it's their blood work. Maybe it's some symptoms that they've got, libido. Maybe it's a declining muscle mass. Maybe it's just a dread of exercise. I don't know what all of the normal symptoms are that, you know, that people might say, oh, I've read something about that and I might want to go on to this online clinic and get that thing. But then the other thing that I think we should touch on is if your health is sort of the main driver, then all of the things that everybody already knows to do to improve their lifestyle, that's going to help here. But that's a long road.
Yep.
And patience is something that's in short supply. And so what are some things people could do to have a faster effect on this? Maybe it's not going to be the full effect because they need to get their health in order, but you know, they want to do something now and maybe it's a diet thing, Tanqat Ali, right? A supplement or, oh, I'm going to, you know, start lifting weights and I'm going to go to exhaustion. I'm going to, you know, go to failure. What else? What should we tell people?
I wish we could say there's a magic answer, but there isn't, right? So there obviously some of the basic one is get sleep, right? Move, lift things heavy, you know, get off of toxic foods. Don't overtrain, you know. We've heard these a million times, but they do provide a much better foundation for health. You know, probably in the physical activity realm, it's the lifting heavy things. Mm-hmm. you know, it's the sprinting is much more of a growth hormone or and a testosterone stimulant. Mm-hmm. So those are, so if you think I'm going to ride my bike 50 miles a day and boost my testosterone, no, right? That's going to go the other way. It's not an anabolic trigger. So you need to create something that's going to create an anabolic response. And it's not going to work if you're taking rapamycin and fasting all the time. However, periodic fast, when you come out of them, causes a boost of testosterone. It's sort of, it's this autophagy of clearing house. So periodically doing a short-term fasting mimic diet, as you come out of that and you start to add calories back in, you get this hormonal boost. And that's a good way to reset sort of metabolic health its way as well. So that's sort of a nice, call it a hack per se. And, you know, and there's so many different herbs that exist out there. And, you know, I'm not even going to go there. I've yet to see one that like really on its own, it's a singular fix and it doesn't fix the problem, right? It's you're playing with the number. And again, if you're truly experiencing, you know, subjective issues with testosterone, you know, then, you know, I typically, you know, since we can do it, I prescribe either HCG, which stimulates production of the testes, or enclomiphene, which triggers the brain's production of the pituitary hormone, which triggers testosterone production. And those will get people over the hump, you know, so they can get back and do the things that they need to do to be healthy. And that's part of it. And the nice thing about both of those is they don't shut down production. You know, it's sort of using our manufacturing facility, you know, one HCG is like bringing in more workers, or in today's world, we're bringing in robots, you know, to do greater work. So we've shifted the assembly, we make it more efficient. And the enclomiphene is just sending more orders. Like, hey, you know, we're saying, you know, we need more orders, start ramping up production. So those are the way those two work, as opposed to, like we said, testosterone is, you know, just sending off to another factory internationally. You'll get the response on those and you'll start to feel better. And, you know, you'll see mood improves, you know, some of the traditional ones, falling asleep after dinner, you know, not having a motivation to exercise, losing muscle mass, poor, no morning erections, lack of libido, lack of passion or drive, right? So just that drive that we talked about with dopamine. These are the traditional testosterone issues. But, you know, I've worked with guys who testosterone is like 280 total, like hypogonadal, but, you know, lots of visceral fat, you know, metabolically really unhealthy. And you get them off of all the carbohydrates, you start making them healthier, you get them moving or doing some sprinting efforts and lifting things a little heavier. And guess what? Your testosterone starts to come back, right? And, you know, so it's, to me, testosterone is the warning light. It's a marker of something out of balance. And, you know, just like a car light goes on, you don't just turn off the light in your engine and say, oh, we're good now, right? And that's sort of what it's doing. Yeah, you're feeling better and the car might not break down, but you haven't fixed the problem. And yes, subsequently, there are some benefits to adding testosterone in, you know, that could go back upstream and have some receptor benefits. But, you know, the message of the talk is you have not fixed the problem. And for me, I'm not someone, you know, I work with people who want to fix the problem. You can pay $99 and get an injectable T, you know, to get a Band-Aid. And you're not only you're not going to fix the problem, you're not going to get a comprehensive, you know, functional view of what really is the solution. And that requires going back to what we discussed earlier, you know, goals, age, scenario, where the problem is, and so forth.
Okay, so this is good. I actually did not expect us to go down this path. I'm glad that we have. But to wrap up what you were saying, I mean, the problem with the $99 a month thing is that you're on it for the rest of your life because you've now you're going to shut down your natural production of, even though it wasn't good enough, it was something, and now it's gone. And so you're going to have to forever be doing whatever this thing is and dealing with all of the downstream consequences of just adding that hormone into your body as your body adjusts, adapts to it. Whereas what you're describing is not something I really understood until just now. And that is, there are other things that you can do. If your testosterone has fallen, if your symptoms are bad enough that you can't even get out of your own way to fix your testosterone problem. You know, I can't even bring myself to exercise because I feel so bad. I feel so unmotivated. You can take these other chemicals, the HCG and then Clomifed, and it will boost your testosterone. And I suppose it'll convert some of it into DHT and estrogen and all of that. It'll make you feel better. And you will then be able to get yourself motivated to do the things that you need to make your natural testosterone better so that you don't need these chemicals after a while. Correct. Am I understanding that right?
That's correct. Right.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. Well, that sounds there you go. Awesome.
You're right. You add protein. You adjust your training schedule. You make sure you're sleeping. You're not drinking too much alcohol, right? You know, look at the medications you're drinking. It's, you know, from a coaching physician guidance, it's not that difficult. It's just for the person who has the issues, it's being willing to change and being willing to make those adjustments and give it time. And typically, you know, it could be 3 months, it could be 6 months. And, you know, at some point, most of the time it'll fix itself. But at some point you get stuck. And at some point, you know, if someone's doing a lot of the right things and, you know, you sort of reach this law of diminishing returns, it's like, okay, I've done all these good things. I'm still having this issue. It's still affecting me. Okay. Then maybe you're someone who needs support. And that's where you could begin to say, maybe you need a Clomid for a while, or maybe we try these few herbs to support the system. And perhaps over a longer period of time, you may not need them. Or someone who's, I was my dad's 85. It's like, oh, just take testosterone. It's just, you know, I give him a little bit twice a week and he feels much better. It's like, okay, you know, not as concerned with the long-term, you know, ramifications, and he's good with taking it long-term, and having him make all the changes, you know, it's just too hard at this point. So.
Mm. Well, that's great. That's I think a nice wrap. I would like to just squeeze out of you a little more about, you know, we're talking about herbs and things like that. And I maybe you're reluctant to talk about that sort of thing, but there's things that we do that mess us up, you know, and maybe we don't even know it, you know, like drinking alcohol regularly, or, you know, I'm eating a lot of processed foods. And so I'm not eating enough fiber, and maybe I'm leaking through my gut and I've got, you know, inflammation or something like that. I mean, am I getting enough boron or zinc or magnesium or, you know, these kinds of things? I mean, you hear about all of this stuff. So, I mean, is any of this stuff real, or is it all just, you know, talking head on the internet stuff?
Yeah, I think that's a part of a comprehensive evaluation certainly looks into, you know, as we talked about, mitochondrial health and mineral balance. So magnesium, copper, iron, boron all play a role in that mitochondrial health. So those are important. So, you know, looking at insulin and uric acid and liver enzymes are all important. So you need to weigh these factors and you put them into play. So, you know, getting someone on some foundational key nutrients are important. You're sprinkling in some herbs. So, you know, there's one that I use. It's, you know, there's Tangat Ali. I like the Akarkara root. And that's sort of a off the map. You know, there's bulbean. There's so many. It's like, there's so many out there that it's like, there's so many different extracts. And so using like something like pine pollen or pine pollen extract, which are sort of thinking as food, could be useful. And, you know, which ones are going to benefit you? There's a multitude. And, you know, are they going to benefit you significantly? But ultimately, it's fix the problem. And if you need an additional boost, then consider throwing in, you know, some botanicals a little bit at a time to get a sense of where you are. But, you know, there will be plenty of people trying to sell injectables and botanicals, you know, to those who want a quicker, easy solution. And some of them may work for some people. A lot of them don't work for most people. But
Well, that's the supplement business in general.
That's the supplement business in general, right?
What I think I hear you saying is that the diet stuff is just a part of the general health foundation, which if you can get that righted, then your body is automatically going to adjust and start making sex hormones like a healthy person would, as opposed to supplements or certain things that you eat that boost your testosterone, right?
Correct. You know, okay. There's movements like, you know, there's strength poses that you could do. Like, there's actually been studies where people like put themselves into a movement where they, you know, tense up their biceps and their fists, and it's like power pose, and you can hold that for a minute or two, and you see testosterone levels go up, right? So it's you can even change hormone levels with your state of mind, right? Feel excited, like we talked about before. Feel excited, feel empowered. You know, something good happens in your life, a new adventure, a business is going well. It's like testosterone levels goes up, right? When you're younger and you're seeking a mate, your testosterone level goes up. Once you've had that mate for a while, you're not out there in the wild, right? Your testosterone doesn't need to be as high because your dopamine, you're more in a serotonin state, you're more relaxed and calm and in a secure. So you don't need to drive, you don't need to fight. So it's going to naturally decline a little bit, but that's okay. I mean, that's part of it, as long as it's not subjectively affecting how you feel.
Yeah, it gets back to the symptoms again. It's not the level of your testosterone in your blood. It's how are you feeling?
It's the symptoms, how you're feeling, and then, you know, are there certain, we call it phenotypical age-related issues that are beginning to affect you, affecting phenotypic response like performance or strength or muscle mass or reaction time or recovery, you know, is probably the biggest one that you'll see. Just people, they, you know, just are sore all the time, and, you know, they have to sleep and they're just not getting a restorative state. And testosterone's low. Okay. You know, so that might be a place to bring things in.
I got you. I mean, it's a classic thing that older athletes say. It's like, oh, I don't recover like I used to. So, you know, that could be, you know, a sex hormone thing, you're saying.
For sure. But, you know, it could be a sex hormone thing, but also, you know, it's part of a bigger picture.
Right. It could be that I don't sleep at night.
It could be I don't sleep at night. It could be my insulin's off. It could be I'm overtraining. It could be, you know, so that's where you really need to sit down with someone and figure out, like, okay, I'm training for, you know, this long, you know, someone is in their late 60s, early 70s, wants to do a couple hundred mile bike rides, and they're training really hard. And maybe that's more than their body at the current state can handle. So while in a perfect world, they would back off, strengthen their physiology over 3 to 6 months and then try again. But, you know, it's like they're set to do it this year and now their testosterone's low. It's like, all right, in that particular case, you know, someone may say, well, you know, it might be beneficial in this situation to use some, you know, enclomiphen or HCG, which I would go for depending on where they were, to carry you through 3 or 4 months, because that's going to help you. And, you know, along with essential amino acids, that's going to be a good thing to help you be anabolic and get you through this particular event. So you're not only going to enjoy and benefit from the training, but you're going to enjoy the event. But then, you know, after that, you really need to unless you really want to commit to taking this for ad nauseum at X dollars a month, you're going to have to then pay attention to making those changes.
Yeah. I wonder if you could come back to that topic, like you talked about the mTOR cycling, and then could, you know, is there some way of thinking about this in that light? I take rapamycin and I cycle it. But based on our last conversation, I'm doing it every 2 weeks now, and I'm sort of cycling my protein and my weightlifting to augment the cycles of up and down of my mTOR. And so how would my sex hormones be involved in that?
Well, you're probably going to see a lower sex hormone during the less anabolic phase, correct? And then part of it is to then during the anabolic phase, you know, boost the testosterone, have more protein, do more strength work, do less anaerobic work, you know, do more sprinting. So that's sort of the balance between those two. Mm. You know, you could even, heck, you know, if you're taking rapamycin, take some enclomiphene and just get an additional boost, you know, during that anabolic phase for 3 weeks and boost your testosterone a little bit higher than it might be, you know, turn up the signal just for a bit. You know, you're going to get that greater receptor signaling, but then, you know, it's, you're not going to be doing it long enough and it's going to start to lose its sensitivity. So now you're getting this off and on switching.
Interesting. Okay. Well, that's very interesting. Okay, Rick, thank you very much. This has been great. I actually learned more than I expected to, so I appreciate that. I wonder, is there anything else you would want to add? And then tell us, tell our audience how they can find more information that you can share or find you online.
Yeah. So I have two areas that I focus. One is having my sort of longevity research, Ignite Longevity, where I do consulting and working on true age reversal protocols. There's no online present at this point, but at some point there will be. And then involved in a nutrition athlete performance health brand, Pure Clean Performance, where we offer lab assessments, you know, from saliva hormones to serum chemistries to full metabolic panels and, you know, nutritional products like super high quality essential amino acid proteins made out of beef isolate that are collagen and essential amino acids. So you're getting this balance of sort of the whole animal and not just overdoing protein from muscle or whey and not getting the collagen. So those are, and we have some superfood blends that are quite tasty and some beet nitrate based products as well. So sort of everything that we do ourselves, we sort of share it in our brand and, you know, look around, and we always, our goal is to help people. We work with, some cycling teams, and, you know, we really look at their serum chemistries and hormone levels and iron levels. And, you know, sort of one thing I say to everyone, do not take iron. If you're a man, do not take iron. You know, if anyone's told you you need iron, you need to prove that beyond a shadow of a doubt, which is like, to me, 1 in 1,000, if not less, especially for an older male. We're all iron overloaded and we have iron in our tissues, and there's a short-term benefit from iron, you know, but in most part, you're just making the problem worse and you need to free up iron out of the tissues. So that's a whole nother discussion, but if you're taking iron, please stop unless you know, get a full comprehensive panel. The reason I mentioned that, we have like 4 24-year-old guys who are taking iron because someone looked at the wrong marker, said, you need iron. And, you know, they felt good initially. And then 3, 4, 6 months later, they felt horrible. You know, and you looked at their metabolic markers that no one were looking at, and they were iron overloaded. So we had to stop them. They had to donate blood. We had to, you know, add in other nutritional factors to sort of get that iron recycling.
Bummer. Well, and your community would appreciate it if you donated blood. So maybe that's a way to go.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. All right, Rick, Glenn, guys, thanks very much. Have a great day.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for joining my conversation with Dr. Rick Cohen. You can find more information about Dr. Cohen in the show notes.